Welcome to the .NET Weekly Audio Show for Wednesday, April 27, 2016. I am Jason Powell, joined today by former ECW champion Justin Credible. Quick heads up before I bring Justin in. The first part of this is going to double as the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. I want to give the All Access side a little sample of this. And so if you were on the member side going, hey, where's the All Access Daily? Know that this is basically it. You're getting the full-length version while they're getting about 15 minutes. We'll kind of figure out after the fact. With all that out of the way, Justin, PJ, as I like to call you, welcome to the show.
What's up, Jason? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very good, and unfortunately, we're going to kind of start off on the somber story of really the last week. Well, one of them, because Prince passed away too, but sure. On the wrestling side of things, China passing away at either 45 or 46, just depending on which version of the age you're reading. And I know you have some history with China. You guys, you were leaving WWE. I know it's listed as kind of the same year, but it sounds like there was some crossover there.
Yeah, there certainly was. I left I officially left the company in August of 97. I started ECW in September of 97. So there was a couple of years maybe a year and a half of crossover there. And I remember when she first came into the company, she was, pretty much brought in by Triple H. They were both from New Hampshire, and I believe she trained at Walter Kowalski's school. That I'm not sure of, but I believe so. And we started, we traveled together. It'd be the three of us making the towns, and I got to know her very well. Wonderful, a wonderful girl, sweet as can be, straight edge. And when I'm, in the beginning, and I thought she was a huge asset to what they were doing. So it was a cool move. It was something that hadn't been done. But as a person, I thought she was sweet as could be.
We were talking a little bit before we started, and you were actually on the first road trip that she made while working with WWF at the time, correct?
Yeah. I was there when she was introduced, and again, it was, because at the time, those were the lean years. And Paul, quite frankly, had just kind of gotten into the company as well, because I was there before he got in there, Triple H. So, I was there before him. And, there were times where, we'd split up and stuff, but I was on her initial first trip to television and the whole deal. Yeah. And it was, it shocks me, but it didn't shock me because, unfortunately, I had not seen her in over a decade. Last time I saw her, I believe, was, like we were talking previously, probably 2002, 2003 at the latest tops. So that was the last time I saw her. And at that time, she wasn't doing really well at that time. And, we're talking 2016. And as you know, I've always stayed close with Sean Waltman, and still to this day. And, Sean had a relationship with her as well. So, I always, I just knew that there was, she had demons, I mean, I'm not, assuming anything of any sort. I'm not, saying that it was, anything like that, but I know that she had suffered through depression issues as well, and stuff like that. So, who knows, but it was just very sad and kind of took me aback. And also, I mean, not to get off topic with China, but just recently, man, with with non-wrestling related Prince, but Balls Mahoney, Axel Rotten,
we'll certainly be talking about them.
Sure. No, it's just all, it just seems, but the unfortunately, and I'm just, this is all speculation, of course, we don't have any, I don't like to speculate, because people have speculated about my past histories as well, and I didn't appreciate it, because a lot of it was correct, a lot of it was incorrect. But unfortunately, I just see a pattern, quite frankly, with Axel, Balls, never thought I'd say these four names in one sentence, Prince, and Joni, unfortunately. Not funny at all, but I think it's that same spiral that a lot of people are taking, not just in entertainment or pro sports or whatever business. I think it's more of a social thing, quite frankly, all around, where you know, it's, you know, we're really in an epidemic of people dying over, you know, whether it's past use catching up with you, or, you know, simply, you know, opioid use mixed with something else, you know. And again, this is all speculation, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't know anything that you guys don't know, but it's just the writing's on the wall, because I've been there, you know. I'm lucky to be alive today.
With China, I mean, whether it turns out to be drug related or if it was just, you know, sleep apnea, I mean, who knows?
We'll
find out. But we know that there were issues there, clearly. I mean, it's been well documented. I want to go back to 97, I think you said. And what, you know, you mentioned she had demons. Were there any at that time? Anything off? I mean, you said she was very straight edge, but I mean, could you tell that she kind of had a troubled childhood or anything like that?
Well, I feel she had, excuse me, not necessarily demons at that point. She was, in my opinion, from what I saw from my eye, she was not doing anything, you know, that would concern me as far as, you know, using or anything of that nature, quite frankly. But I do think she had, you know, a troubled past as far as depression. Again, this is all speculation. You know, you got to be careful what you say. Myself, I'm saying. But, you know, I felt that way. You know, I think being in a position she was in, you know, I think she might have gotten teased a lot as a kid and stuff, because she was, you know, a bigger stature. And, you know, you could throw insert jokes wherever you want them. I found her beautiful and feminine, you know, before she, you know, had her surgery and stuff. You know, I thought she was a sweetheart, but, you know, I feel that she, and she might've had family issues as well. I know more about her past that I can't click it, and I don't want to say it if I'm not accurate. So I don't want to put stuff out there that's not accurate, but I just feel like she had a tough life, I think, you know. And, you know, once you get into wrestling, and I'm not sure if you're allowed to say it on the show, but I will. Welcome to the shit show. You know, it's
you
like
do whatever you want.
You okay? Cool, great. I could be me. You know, well, you know, and that's what it is. Is pro wrestling is that? You know, and I'm not trying to be vulgar, but it's you know, welcome to the circus, and it's very intense. And working for the WWF at that time, and especially the rocket ride she was ready to get on with DX. And the Attitude Era and all that was, you know, that's a lot, man. That's a lot for one human being to go from obscurity to huge success all in a very short window. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, one can only say, but, you know, it's just, she was, you know, I remember Joni. You know, I don't remember China. I wasn't there for the rock star China days.
Right.
When she was really over. You know, I just remember her as being a very humble, respectful, sweet girl, you know, who always treated me well. And even when the last time I saw her, you know, she gave me a huge hug and a kiss. And she looked beautiful, you know, and that's the shame of it. She's, in my opinion, you know, a beautiful young lady, still had a killer body, so much potential. You know, bad decisions along the way, we all make them. But what a shame, you know. It saddens me, you know. Personal differences aside, from whatever, you know, she's, you know, it's just sad. It's sad to see one of those people go, you know. But unfortunately, the writing, it was on the wall, and I don't know if she ever got help. And quite frankly, you know, it's hard from a recovery standpoint to ask for help. I was very fortunate. I went through two unsuccessful rehabs with WWE. They only allow you one. So the kind of kindness of Vince, Steph, Hunter, they put me through three times. A third time stuck. So, you know, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's a daily fight. And but my biggest problem was I was ashamed. Ashamed to ask for help. You know, and, you know, quite frankly, I say a lot of bad stuff about the WWE, creatively, but one thing as far as that, as far as helping the talent for whatever their motivation may or may not be. You know, whether it's just being PC or just trying to cover your own ass, whatever the reason is, or if they truly care about the talent, whatever. They truly have a good wellness policy, and I applaud them for that. You know, but I think Joni needed help a long time ago, whatever kind of help, whether it was, substance abuse, mental health, or whatever, but they do have resources at former talent's disposals, and I encourage, you know, guys like Balls and Axel, you know, two guys that could have also, you know, gotten help that didn't. I believe Axel may have gone once, but to no avail, which, you know, that's not uncommon either, unfortunately. In the rehabilitation world, the odds are actually very, very low that you make it through, believe it or not. You know, my counselor used to tell me, I don't know the number, but it was a very low percentile of people that will walk through that door and succeed. So it's very scary, and you got to really want it. You got to work at it every day. Because, you know me very well, Jason. I've done a lot of things, and it's very difficult to kind of, see if you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I mean, you know, I've gone to AA. Have I had drinks? I've drank in front of you. A year ago or so, when we were doing the Billy Corgan reality show gig that never got played, I'm not ashamed of that. I feel like if I'm hiding something, then I'm doing something wrong. I'm not afraid to put it out there. But, you know, it's very tough. It's very tough to control, to abstain, and to run the program. I mean, you know, I'm glad to say that I am heroin-free, opiate-free, pill-free, even marijuana-free, which I used to love to smoke pot. I don't even smoke that anymore. You know, so will I have a beverage now and again? Absolutely. You know, do I worry about that, though, becoming a problem? Absolutely.
Have to be aware of it.
It's a very fine line, you know, but you gotta know where you are and who you are and what you're doing. And you got to always, that's why you have to have sponsors. That's why you have to be honest with yourself and realize when you need help and have a support group system. I'm afraid she didn't have that either. Again, speculation, assuming it was something to do with substances, which completely may not have been. I'm not trying to say it is, but I don't think she was.
But we know there was a problem. Whether it is that or not, there was a problem there. I mean, her manager said he was trying to get her on the intervention show.
Yeah, and I heard too that I think TMZ reported it, which I'm not saying they're the most reliable group in the world, but I have connections to TMZ, and one of the kids there's a wrestling fan, and he told me he had heard that people in her building, she lived in Redondo Beach, I believe, in her complex, had seen her the past 4 or 5 days or so completely bombed. I don't know on what, but that's, again, that's speculation from TMZ, not coming from me. That's what they said. And I just fear that, to me, what grounds me the most, Jay, is my family. It always has been, and I think you know that. You know my wife. I have 3 children. And I have a great relationship with my mother and father and in-laws and sister-in-laws, and I have a huge support system if I need it. I don't feel she had that.
Well, you know, and I think that was the issue. That for a second, because my theory on this, and I want to know what you think about it, is that, given the way she left the company, and I'm not getting judgmental, but with the fact that she found out that Hunter and Steph were having the affair, obviously, you know, everyone knows the story by now. She ends up leaving the company as a result of that. And she has said that she was fired, Jim Ross and others have said, no, she chose to leave on her own. Whatever the case is, you leave, you lose your boyfriend to the boss's daughter, you lose your job, whether you choose to give it up or not, and then you can speak to this, Peach, being on the road, excuse me, as much as they are, that becomes your family in a lot of ways, and especially if your home life, if she didn't have that strong home life or, you know, family system before that, she's basically, when she left that company, was losing more than just a job and a boyfriend. She was losing that family that she had, as I assume it was for her.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Even myself, I totally agree. And I think that was a lot of what we talked about earlier about her having, her home life a little weird. I don't think she had anybody there. But to relate to what you're saying, when my wife got pregnant with my first son in 2000, she worked merchandise for ECW on the road with me for several years. And Tommy Dreamer was kind enough to give her a job. And she felt, you know, when it all ended, that she lost a part of the family. And I did too, because we were such a close-knit bunch. So we still talk about it to this day. You know, we never talk about the WWE years. We talk about the ECW years because we were that. And I think she felt that in WWF or WWE, whatever you want to call it. I think she felt completely betrayed and lost. And I don't know, but believe it or not, I don't know any of the specifics. I never really followed up on any of the reports, really, on how it all went down. But of course, that's shocking to you. You know, I mean, God, it's like I could imagine, you know, Jill, my wife, of course, of almost 20 years, being on the road with me, for example, and all of a sudden, oh, by the way, Paige, you're fired because she's dating Tommy Dreamer, now the boss.
Right.
But just for example, it's just an example. Of course, Tommy was already with his wife, Beulah and stuff, but just as an example, it would kill me. I don't know. I'd probably run into traffic, you know? It'd break my heart. So, of course, that must have been very tough. But again, I don't know the situation. I don't think she ever did. How can you? Because at the same time, wrestling is not what it was. The demand for professional wrestling or sports entertainment or, you know, I hate that damn term,
right.
But whatever you call it, is very limited. So really, she had no other place to go hone her craft. So, you know, she tried doing a couple of things and got out there a little bit on the Hollywood scene. And I think that was even worse for her. Her moving out to L.A., in my opinion, my humble opinion. Now, mind you, I've not spoken to her in over a decade, God rest her soul, or I've never really even gotten in depth too much with any of her friends over there, you know, like Sean Waltman or anybody about this stuff. I'm just from devil's advocate, from an outside looking in. I think moving out there killed her too. Because that is, if you, brother, that's just, you know, you're out there, and it is, the world is at your fingertips. If you have money, you can get anything you want, anywhere you want. They'll give it to you for free if you're a celebrity. And she was a pretty big star, you know? At the time, she was doing the MTV Awards, you know? There was even rumors speculating that she might get a spot as Wonder Woman in a movie. That never panned out, but I remember that was rolling around. So, I mean, there was certainly things out there that may have possibly hurt her more than helped her. Because believe me, man, you ain't got many friends out in L.A.
Not true friends, right.
Not real friends. You know what I'm saying?
I do, absolutely. I do want to jump back. We're kind of going all over. I want to jump back.
Yeah, we are all over the place.
Well, I want to go back to 97. And, okay. You know, you talked about her going from obscurity to the circus life that is WWE. Was she as prepared for it as a person could be, or was she walking in kind of blind to this?
See, I think she came in as prepared as she could be. I think Paul did a good job at grooming her. You know, that's the thing, is he was the architect.
Let me interject. Were they an actual couple at the time, or more of just an act?
They were an actual couple.
Okay. I wasn't sure when that exactly started.
Yeah, I think they were an actual couple. I don't know if it started out that way right off the bat or not, but as far as I remember, yeah. I think they were. And I think it just, he was the architect. I think he prepared her, kind of, you know, say this, don't say this. And he was very much, you know, not a taskmaster or anything like that. He was always very good to her, in my eyes. But nonetheless, I think he, you know, he kind of let her know, this is the deal.
So she had someone to kind of help navigate. It wasn't...
Oh, absolutely. She wasn't going in, no way, blind. No, he was there. And I think that's why I think she felt even more betrayed. Possibly. You sure. Know, again, I'm speculating. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But just, I could imagine somebody bringing me in and being my right-hand man, and then, bye. I would feel spited. I'd feel very hurt.
Hey, that's it on the All Access side for the Just Incredible appearance on the .NET Weekly audio show. But that is not all that members are hearing. In fact, they are hearing about another 2 hours worth of conversation between Just Incredible and I. We spoke more about China and her early days in WWE. We spoke a lot about addiction and in pro wrestling. We also spoke about WWE-sponsored rehab, the wellness policy, the deaths of Balls Mahoney and Axel Rotten, ECW, as far as just how much the guys keep in touch these days. Justin took his first trip back to ECW Arena, now known as 2300 Arena. I think he said in about 7 years, and so he just talked about how much that the place has changed, the pride he takes in seeing what it's become, and just so much more. I mean, if you've you may have heard Justin in the past. If you haven't, I think you can tell just from the 20 minutes that you did here that he's an open book on so many things. And so I really enjoyed the conversation. I think you would as well if you heard the entire audio show. If you are interested in joining us on the member side of things, visit the main page at prowrestling.net. Once you're there, you can't miss the sign-up area. Once you're in there, you'll find three different pricing options. Membership rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. If you want to save yourself a little bit of money, you can whittle that price down by taking the six-month offer, or you can bring it all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month if you take our annual option. If you have any questions on membership, feel free to email me at just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Or hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. It's always appreciated when you do that. And for that matter, if you can just give the podcast link a quick retweet when I put it out there on Twitter, it would be greatly appreciated. You're helping spread the word about the site when you do that. And a big thanks to everyone who has done that already or taken the time to rate and review us. It's really appreciated. I will talk to you next time. Until then, take care.